want to thank Pastor Adam and First Baptist Church for the invitation to be part of the service today. It's always a privilege to preach on Good Friday, and it's wonderful to be able to do that here among you. I want to ask you a few questions. Do you ever wonder what to do with the Old Testament? Are you ever puzzled by the fact that it is such a large part of our Bible? And do you ever ask yourselves, what did the apostles preach from when they didn't have the New Testament? That's what all our pastors preach from all the time, but they didn't have that. Well, you just heard a quote from Acts chapter 4 from Kirsten, and you're going to hear another one shortly from Amy from Acts chapter 5. And I want to draw your attention to a few facts about those quotations. From Acts chapter 4, notice that Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, quotes the Old Testament. And he says, in effect, this is referring to Jesus. In Acts chapter 5, Peter is there again, and he's explaining what he's doing and why he did it. And he says in Acts 5:30, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead. I want you to think about that for a second. That Peter, as a Jew, and all the apostles had that Jewish background. They're speaking to people of Jewish faith right here. They make a connection between what they would call the scriptures or their Bible and what was going on in those days preeminently through Jesus Christ. So Peter quotes Psalm 118, verse 22, and says, this is about Jesus. And he says, the God of our fathers, and he doesn't mean one generation back, he means way back, way back. The God of our fathers raised him from the dead. In other words, Peter and the other apostles, as Jews who had come to faith in Jesus as Messiah, they, speaking to other Jews, claim that there's a continuity between the Old Testament. There's a relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament. What had happened to Jesus and through Jesus and in Jesus was connected to the text of the Old Testament, Psalm 118, and to the God of the Old Testament, the God of our fathers. Well, how should we understand the connection that the apostles made? Well, one way would be to say the Old Testament and the New Testament are like Plan A and Plan B. Now, Plan A was a lengthy attempt, but it was a dismal failure. And Plan B was a last-minute but fortunate substitute that really worked. But if that was how to connect the Old Testament and the New Testament, how could the apostles have preached from it? It would have been a lengthy account of a resounding failure. But if you look at the book of Acts, which is the quizzing material this year for Dryden Bible Quizzing, if you look at the book of Acts, you will see that from Pentecost onwards, the apostles preached with confidence in the Old Testament as God's word and preached regularly from the Old Testament. If the quizzers haven't got anything else but this one point in quizzing this year in the book of Acts, let them remember that they reasoned from the scriptures and they proved from the scriptures that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ. So it couldn't have been that one. It couldn't have been Plan A and Plan B, and Plan A was the failure and Plan B was the lucky success. And if you've looked at the bulletin and you see my title here, you'll know that I think it's something else. The Old Testament and the New Testament are connected with each other as promise and fulfillment are connected with each other. When I say that, I'm saying three things. There had to be promises from God in the Old Testament. There had to be promises. Those promises could not have been fulfilled within the text and the time period of the Old Testament. Those promises were fulfilled in the New Testament. So we want to turn our minds to the New Testament and just ask, how did it work out? Oh, I can't see any hands here, but I'm confident that if I said, how many of you know the first verse of the Old Testament, almost every hand would go up. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I'm also fairly confident that if I asked how many of you know the first verse of the New Testament, fewer hands would go up. How does the New Testament begin? Two-thirds, 70% of the way through the Bible, how does that major chunk begin? It starts, Matthew 1, verse 1, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Why does it begin that way? Because there were promises. Because those promises weren't fulfilled in the time period of the Old Testament, and because Matthew is saying and contending that those promises, and he's going to focus on promises to Abraham and promises to David, that those promises were fulfilled in Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, son of Abraham. Way back in the early part of the Old Testament, we encounter the character Abraham. And you know that it's kind of difficult to date things that far back. We can never find a coin that says 2000 BC the way we can find coins that say 2000 AD. So there are other ways and means that scholars have, and some have guessed that Abraham, I shouldn't say guessed, some have estimated that Abraham was born around 2100, somewhere in there, and I'm rounding it off. And in the time of Genesis 12, was probably around 2090 BC. God came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and made him a whole cluster of promises. God said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to get redemption started. He made massive promises to Abraham as a man about having children, getting some land. But the most mind-boggling of all was in Genesis 12, verse 3, when God said to Abraham, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now just think about that for a second. God is coming to this man. God knows how big the earth is. Abraham didn't. And God's promising to this man, Abraham, who doesn't have any children, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. But time passed, and time passed. And if you remember the story, you remember how Abraham got kind of impatient that one of the early promises wasn't yet being fulfilled, the promise that he would have a son with his wife. But even as you go through all the decades and centuries and millennia of the Old Testament, there still hasn't been a fulfillment of that promise. There's a promise of a blessing, but it hasn't really spread anywhere yet. All peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. But 2,000 years later, there's no spread of blessing. It's just kind of concentrated in this tiny area of the Middle East. Well, let's look at David. He was the great king, probably the greatest king of Israel. He died around 970 BC, and a couple of hundred years later, Isaiah the prophet, who was called to prophesy about the sin of his people and their discipline by being exiled, nevertheless promised in chapters 9 and chapter 11 that a descendant of David would regain David's throne and reign forever. But 600 years later, the king had not yet been crowned. I want you to think about the time span there for a second. 600 years. What was going on 600 years ago? Well, lots in some ways, but there's all sorts of stuff that hadn't yet happened in our understanding of history. Not to mention 2,000 years. The promise that all the nations would be blessed through Abraham. So there were promises made, but they were not fulfilled in the text or the time span of the Old Testament. But the New Testament begins a record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And the New Testament claims that those promises in Old Testament text and time have been fulfilled in Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. See, Peter speaks in Acts, and he says in Acts chapter 3, verse 25, this is the fulfillment of God's promise, the promise that God would bless all the peoples of the earth. He's speaking to Jews there. Is now being fulfilled. It's now being fulfilled to the Jews first. But it's being fulfilled. Peter realizes, because he's heard it from Jesus, that this blessing is intended to go to all the earth. And then Paul, in Galatians 3:8, quotes the same passage, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and he's saying, and to the Gentiles as well. This promise has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul is so sure of it, he says that the scripture announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. Announced the gospel in advance that all the nations would be blessed through him. Well, Peter and Paul both thought that that promise through Abraham was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And Peter thought the same thing about the promise to David. If you look at Acts chapter 2 and see and read Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, he quotes from David, he quotes Psalm 110 of David, saying, this is true of Jesus of Nazareth, because it talks about a body not seeing decay. And Peter says, David was a prophet. David was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised to him on oath that he that is God would place one of David's descendants on his throne. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 30. That descendant is Jesus. Do you ever wonder why the apostles preached from the Old Testament? Do you ever wonder what they preached from the Old Testament? They preached from, they taught from, they reasoned from, they proved from the scriptures that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. And they got this view from Jesus himself. If you unfortunately can't open your Bibles at the moment because of the darkness out there. But Jesus in Luke 18, as he's leading the 12 up to Jerusalem, says to them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. They got that view of the Old Testament from Jesus. After the resurrection, Jesus was walking to Emmaus, talking to two other men. And Luke says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And then at the end of Luke 24:45, he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He said, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Jesus himself understood himself to be the fulfillment of God's promises. Long delayed. But the promise that God would bless all nations through Abraham came true in Jesus. The promise that God would restore a king from David's line, a king over the people of God, came true in Jesus. What did Jesus say when he talked about going up to Jerusalem? He said, everything that's written about me must be fulfilled. The Son of Man will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. Jesus understood the Old Testament as promising the death and the resurrection of the Messiah. And that's what finally got the blessing going, finally got the blessing spreading when Jesus died on the cross and rose again and appeared to his disciples and instructed his disciples in the scriptures and gave them the great commission and promised the gift of the Holy Spirit to them, that's when the blessing started to expand. And we're all here today a long, long, long way from Jerusalem, a long way from that tiniest sliver land in Palestine. And probably most of us some distance ethnically from the Jewish people. But we're here because Jesus fulfilled a promise God made millennia ago to David, to Abraham, that through you all nations of earth will be blessed. And the king that Isaiah promised was King Jesus. Most kings, when there's a battle to be fought, summon the soldiers and send them forth to war. But in the great battle to be fought, King Jesus did not summon the other soldiers. He went forth himself. He went forth to the cross. He went forth to die. See, the Old Testament sacrifices, which are another promise fulfilled in Jesus, the Old Testament sacrificial system were for the sins of the Jews. But when Jesus died, his sacrifice was for the sin of the world. When he died on the cross, what did the charge above him say? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, written, John tells us, in Aramaic and Latin, and in Greek, the languages of what they knew of the world in that day. Promise of a king, a long delay, but fulfilled in Jesus, the King of God's people, for all the world, for all the world. Pastor Adam originally asked me to speak on how Jesus fulfills the Old Testament, and what a tremendous topic that is, and I thank him for that. But I want to say to you that, and I'm sure you know this, this is barely scratching the surface of how Jesus fulfills the Old Testament. Think of an area like that Hemlo gold mine far away along Highway 17, where a prospector found some gold near the surface, and then they started drilling and found more gold, and they drilled and they found more gold, and they kept on drilling and they kept on finding more gold. That's like the Old Testament. That's why the apostles could preach from that with such conviction and such assurance. Because the text of the Old Testament spoke of Jesus. The God of the Old Testament, the God of their fathers, was the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are great riches awaiting those who will labor with the scriptures to find the multitude of ways that Jesus fulfills the promises of God. These are not just discoveries, they are riches for you spiritually. I encourage you to read the Old Testament with that frame of reference, promise fulfilled in Jesus. Each time you see how God's promises are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, you will grow in faith, you will grow in knowledge, you will grow in trust in God. You will have assurance of your forgiveness, you will have peace in times of trouble, you will have confidence in a challenging word, because God keeps his promises, and as Paul said, all God's promises are yes in Jesus Christ. And you will have an increasing hope that one day you will see him, the source of all blessing, your eternal King, who died for him, died for you. And you will love him. You will love him. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great riches of the Old Testament. Thank you that the New Testament begins by alerting us to the reality that you are one God, and that all those promises that still didn't have their answer in Old Testament times were about to be answered through Jesus of Nazareth. Thank you that he is the source of blessing for us. Thank you that he is the king who died for his people. And thank you that through him we have access to you. We know you and we have eternal life in Jesus our Lord.